Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. It was just 2 days before Christmas, and she hadn't gotten any Christmas cards yet, so she ran into the store and grabbed the last package of 50 cards off of the Christmas card rack. She didn't have a lot of time, and so she sat down and immediately signed them all and addressed them all and got them out to the mailbox just as the postman was arriving. Wow, she thought, another thing to check off the list. It wasn't until several weeks later that she found one of the cards that she hadn't needed to send. So she thought, perhaps I should read this card and see what I said. To her chagrin, the card said, "This card is just to let you know that a big gift is on the way. 49 of her friends are now waiting for that big gift to arrive. They're expecting her to keep her promise, and it's a promise that she can't keep." Today is Christmas Eve. For months now, we've been seeing displays of Christmas items in the stores. Your children and grandchildren are probably looking forward to tonight with great anticipation. And if not tonight, then certainly tomorrow morning. Parents, and especially grandparents, look forward to seeing that expression on their grandchildren's faces when they open those gifts that they have been hoping were there. For children, the anticipation is almost too much to bear. Those packages hold a promise that there's something really wonderful inside them, and they just can't wait to see what that promised gift will be. In the Old Testament lesson for today, King David wants to give a gift to God. The Ark of the Covenant has been kept in a tent for the time since the Exodus. And David said, it's really time that God has a place of his own. I live in this really nice house made of cedar, and God is living in a tent. That's not fair. I want to build a temple for God to live in. But God says to David through the prophet Nathan, I've lived in a tent ever since the Exodus. Have you heard me complaining? That's not what I want you to do. Rather than making a temple for God, God wanted to make a prophet. Promise to David. Through that prophet Nathan, God says, your house, David, and your kingdom shall be made sure forever. Your throne shall be established forever. This text is known as the Davidic covenant. It's the promise that God made to David when David was alive. It's the promise that a Messiah would come from David's line of descendants. And so the Jewish nation begins to anticipate when this Messiah will come. In Psalm 89, David talks about having the promise of his line will be established forever. And 300 years later, the prophet Isaiah says, the sign of the coming Messiah will be that a virgin will conceive. And 150 years after that, Jeremiah writes about the righteous branch that will be coming and that will sprout from David's line. And then finally, 1,000 years after God makes that promise to David, the angel comes to Mary in our gospel lesson for today and says, greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you. You will conceive and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. That first Christmas in Bethlehem 2,000 years ago was when God kept the promise that he had made to King David 1,000 years before that. Today, 3,000 years after that promise, we again celebrate Jesus' birth in Bethlehem. We hear that Joseph and Mary will be walking to Bethlehem. because Joseph, who is of the line of David, whose throne would be established forever, has been told to go to Bethlehem. As I thought about that promise that was made 3,000 years ago and finally kept 1,000 years later, and we still hear that story, we still celebrate Jesus' birth every year, I thought to myself, gee, I wonder what the people of Judah were thinking 2,000 years ago. How many of them had doubted that David's promise, God's promise to David would be kept? How many people of that nation had given up on that promise? How many of the Jewish people probably believed that God no longer even cared about them or knew about that promise? Perhaps some did not even believe in God or believed that he still didn't existed. But in spite of it taking 1,000 years, God kept that promises, and God continues to keep the promises that he makes today. But that's not the way of this world. This world would have us give up on God completely. It would have us stop living by faith. It would deny that such a promise was actually ever made. It would have us see Jesus only as a well-meaning Jewish guy who taught a lot about love. The world would have us deny that there is even a need for God's forgiveness, or that we would have to have something other than good works to get to heaven. Yet it is in this world that Jesus comes again tonight. He comes to save this world from itself, from its unbelief, from its doubt and scoffing and denial and its inability to keep promises. Tonight, Jesus comes again into a world in which many have no faith in an omniscient God, a world which puts its faith in science much more than the Bible. Yet science is one of those areas of study that keeps finding out how much it doesn't know. Tonight, Jesus comes into a world where the promises are made and broken daily. Promises are made by broken people who, like the woman who sent the cards, can't keep promises or save themselves. And so tonight we anticipate the coming of Jesus again on Christmas Eve. We look forward to the joy that this event brings, and we look forward to what it means to us in our lives, both today and tomorrow and for eternity. And so today I proclaim to you that a big gift is on its way to you. It's the biggest gift in all of human history. It's the gift that is the fulfillment of all of the promises of the Old Testament. It's the gift of promise that Christ will come again. And so I pray that you would anticipate that gift as a child anticipates Christmas and the opening of all the Christmas packages. For the past 3 weeks of Advent, we've been preparing for Jesus' coming. And I pray that that preparation won't be buried beneath all of those packages that are under your trees at home. I pray that you won't be overwhelmed by the view of Christmas by the rest of the world. The idea that Christmas is for selling and not for praising God. And I pray that you won't be overwhelmed by your worries and concerns and insecurities about this world, because Christ comes to us tonight to be with us. Over the next week or so, and into early January, people are going to be making a lot of New Year's resolutions. Those are basically promises to themselves and perhaps to others that they will do a lot of different things. Typical kinds of resolutions are to lose weight, to eat more healthily or better, to spend more time relaxing or more time reading or exercising perhaps, The list of promises that we make to ourselves and to each other is endless. We also know that in a month or so, most of those promises will be broken because we're a broken people and we cannot keep those promises that we make. And God knows that. And that's why we are celebrating Christmas again this year. God knew that we were a broken and sinful nation, a broken and sinful people, and that we can't keep those promises. And so he made a promise to King David, and he kept that promise. He kept his promise to send a Savior. He keeps his promise to forgive all our sins. He will keep his promise to come again. Because the God we have, the only God, keeps all his promises. Amen. Now may the peace of God that surpasses all understanding keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.